Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 334, top of the day to you, Steph.
Cheers, top of the day to you, Leah.
Wine, white wine. As our grandmother used to pronounce it, white.
White.
Wine.
Wine.
So I think we've had, I mean, we often have water. We had cup of tea often.
Yeah.
We had soup once.
Yes.
But it's been a while since we've had wine.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I don't know. Be nice to have it every week. Feel sophisticated.
Very sophisticated.
You could call it cocktail watching suggestions.
Oh, that's not bad. But we'd have to do it in this voice.
I don't want to make a cocktail ever.
Excuse me, but we want to tell you that this week's episode, we've only got one watching suggestion. It's something we've seen live. It's something that Dale has spoken of before. But yes. I'm not even speaking out of turn, but we are far more educated when it comes to this particular subject matter.
Oh, yeah. We could write a thesis on this
exactly.
subject matter.
So we will be talking about it and only it when it comes to watching suggestions. Quiz is not about it, but we have had a quiz about it.
Yes, recently.
A couple of weeks ago
now. Yeah.
This week's episode is not about it. It is about movies in the ocean.
Oh,
okay. It's in the ocean. It's coming up later.
Okay.
So just start thinking about films that you remember being set in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be good to go.
Okay.
Speaking of good to go, I reckon it's a good time to go to the
news.
You can never have enough hats, gloves, shoes, and we are the watchers, sweetie darling.
Mahershala Ali and Tom Hardy are two actors who I would say are pretty critically acclaimed. I mean, one's got an Oscar and one's English.
True. English. True.
Probably going to be a sir at some point in time, right?
True.
As most English actors end up being. Sorry, two-time Academy Award winner and Tom Hardy.
English.
Who's English.
Yeah.
They are going to star in a film called 77 Blackout. This one sounds like the kind of movie that you would sit there and if you didn't bite your nails, you probably would and you would end up with no nails by the time the film is finished.
Tell me what it's about because I feel like...
You've heard about it?
Well, just the name rang a bell.
Okay.
Go on.
It's a crime thriller set on the night that there is a massive...
Blackout.
Yes. Have you heard about this one?
No, maybe you put it in the news ages ago when they were talking about making it.
Five rogue police officers,
rogue.
I'm reading this from Deadline, formulate a plan to rob three criminal strongholds, the Hong Kong triads, the Italian mafia, and the Harlem mob. Did I say this is set in New York? I mean, it's pretty obvious by now. I just said Harlem.
Yeah.
All in one night. Then a blackout sweeps across this city.
Wait, hang on. Were they planning it knowing there was going to be a blackout?
No. Not from the way it's written.
So it's not like a scheduled blackout?
No. So because it says, when a blackout sweeps the city on the night of the robbery, the crew is forced to navigate a hellish landscape as years of being overworked and underpaid forces each of them to confront their own mortality.
Oh, that's going a bit far. Come on. You just went.
I reckon if you went to see this at the movies, you'd be like, I've got the popcorn.
Confronting your own mortality. Oh. Guys, you're police officers. Don't you kind of do that most days?
In America.
Also, you've chosen to rob
these very big criminal
families.
Why? Why have they chosen it?
Why all on the same night? To frame each other?
Oh.
And why three when there's five guys?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm sorry about that. I have absolutely.
I can't believe that you are not the oracle.
No idea. I feel like I am the oracle of it in this room.
100%.
Not really, though, because now I've told you everything I know.
You read the article. I did not.
Yeah, I did.
I just come to you with more questions.
So true. I did read the whole article. This is a story I actually heard a few days ago, but I thought it was worthwhile bringing back just in case you missed it.
Yeah.
New Lord of the Rings movie is announced for 2026. It's only 2 years away.
I better get going.
I know. Well, it does sound like they
are. Can they take a while?
I think they're in New Zealand. And do you remember Andy Serkis was Gollum?
Mm-hmm.
He's an actor as well now. He's a director. Far out. He was really bad at it.
He wasn't an actor.
But now
back
he's
then.
Good. But he's now good. And the movie's called Lord of the Rings, The Hunt for Gollum.
Oh.
Yeah. So I really like the statement. This is the statement from Andy. Yes, precious. He said, the time has come once more to venture into the unknown with my dear friends, the extraordinary and incomparable guardians of Middle-earth, Peter, Fran and Philippa. Peter Jackson, obviously.
Mm.
And he said, it's my filmmaking family in New Zealand. It's all too delicious. And the cat in the room is?
Chessy Bear.
Hey, Chester.
Now, I know you haven't seen Harry Potter a huge amount.
I've only seen three of the films.
Okay. Do you get Dobby and Gollum slightly muddled in your head now?
Yeah.
Me too.
Was Andy Serkis Dobby? No.
I don't know.
You know Andy Serkis was Captain Haddock in the Tintin film.
Was he?
It's a Peter Jackson film.
Yeah.
I want to watch that again.
I would love to watch
that
again.
It was a really fun movie. So underrated.
Good. And on the big screen.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Oh. All right, Hordenorphium. Sorry, Haydenorphium. Firstly, you're probably not going to, because I always say that. Therefore, I'm probably not going to have any clout. Like, you're not going to listen to me, but please put that on one of your big screens and we will go and watch.
Yeah. You know what I reckon we should do? We should invest. Make a cinema that just plays classics only.
So at least once a month you've got to be playing something like Princess Bride, right?
Yeah.
Goonies.
And you do things like on Rex Manning Day.
Yes.
You play Empire Records.
4th of May. May the 4th.
May the 4th. Yeah.
Yeah.
Christmas. Christmas season. Could you imagine? I mean, like, it would be a night, like Christmas
I just got
vacation.
Shivers because I'm just so... You would have Elf, you would have Santa Claus the movie.
Yeah.
Christmas on Miracle Street.
Yeah.
Both the old and the new. And by new I mean the one
Jingle
from 30 odd years ago.
Yeah, true.
Jingle All the Way.
You could have that as a double show.
Yes, double feature.
Yeah, double feature.
Rocky Horror Picture
Rocky
Show.
Rocky Horror Picture
Show.
Sing along. Frozen sing along.
Halloween time, you'd have all like the
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, those ones.
Oh,
Nightmare on
Scream.
Elm Street. Oh, the Scream movies would be fun. They'd be the ones I would tolerate. I would be able to cope with.
Yeah.
Tolerate means that I have a level of cope. I'm able to cope.
Okay. I wouldn't. I would just screen it in my show my theater.
Her show.
And roster someone else on that night.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not working Halloween.
No, you're not doing that. Thank you very much. Be sitting at home eating the...
Do you know what you could do?
The Snickers at Noah Kid.
All the, the stop motion old school plastic, Frosty the Snowman.
Brilliant.
And put those on.
Brilliant. So Daggy, who was on a while ago with Heath.
Dags.
She watches them every Christmas.
Because she's clever.
Yeah, she is. I think she may even do... There's an Easter one,
An Easter one.
Yeah.
She does an Easter Bunny one.
Yeah. Speaking of Easter Bunny, how are we going to do this?
Speaking
of Easter Bunny, Grogu is a little guy with big ears, a.k.a. Baby Yoda.
So is Dobby? Dobby's got big ears.
Yeah, he does. I haven't seen any of those. I haven't seen a rabbit, Grogu, or Dobby in the same room.
I've never seen them in the same room.
So... don't know what to make of that, except a rumor.
Conspiracy theory started here.
They are making a film called The Mandalorian and Grogu. This is not conspiracy. They are. New Star Wars movie. It's going to be the first one, first official proper one since 2019 when Rise of the Skywalker came out. This is going to be based on the wonderful series that people loved, particularly the first couple of seasons, absolutely loved it. third season, I think people were like, yeah, but it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for the movie.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal will take that mask off as much as you want, so you know it's him for sure.
Mm.
But Sigourney Weaver is in talks to be in this Star Wars movie with The Mandalorian and Grogu. Jon Favreau is directing the film, of course, right? Mm. Of course he is. And Kathleen Kennedy, who's like the boss of Star Wars, she said she's 100% behind this. And Dave Filoni is a part of it as well. He's the chief creative officer of Star Wars. It's not George Lucas anymore. It's Dave. And Dave is a massive fan.
Imagine that being your job. Massive. I'm the head of Star Wars.
Cool.
I'm the chief creative. I'm the CCO. I'm C-level in Star Wars.
I know. Okay. Production supposed to start later this year. The film is supposed to come out in May 2026. So you have got a new Star Wars film and a new Lord of the Rings film coming out in 2026. I have no idea who Sigourney Weaver will be playing, but isn't it funny that they throw an actor's name in who's famous into a Star Wars thing and suddenly you're like, oh, just to see her in the Star Wars universe.
What's she going to be?
I'm on board with it.
She's behind the curtain. Yeah. He's attached to the curtain now and she's actually walked away. She doesn't know what to do, but he does know what to do now.
Because he's attached to a
curtain. Attached to the curtain.
Chester's attached to a curtain. He was playing with Betty. Oh, there they go.
I don't know if she's actually there or if it's just him doing it now.
I can't see her.
Oh, no, she is. She is. Okay.
She's there. Okay. So Sigourney Weaver, let's just have a little
think. It's Eddie.
But it was Betty before?
Well, I don't know. I just saw the big white back foot and I realised they've both got big white back feet. But now I think I see an orange bottom. Chester will find out. Go down, get him, Chester.
Get him, Chester. Get that boy. Sigourney Weaver, let's just talk about some of the things that she's been in.
Alien.
Aliens, Avatar, Star Wars. That's insane. Then we're not even talking about Working Girl. Which is the Star Wars connection right there, Harrison Ford.
She is her character from Working Girl in Star Wars.
I would love that so much.
Working 9 to 5, trying to take down the Death Star.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. 2026 is going to be a good year. I can't just feel it. I could see it. It's there. Finally, a bit of a sad story, but an interesting story. Speaking of big films, Jaws from 1977, I think it was massive. And 75, I think. 75. It came out in 1975. It started off with a lady, a girl, young girl, swimming in the water, and suddenly she gets attacked by a shark and it's thrashing and throwing her around, right? And they wanted to get an actor to do it. And in the end, they were like, that's a really dumb idea. We need to get a stunt person and an expert swimmer who knew how to look like they were enduring a shark attack.
Yeah.
And they chose a lady called Susan Blackliney.
Mm-hmm.
She has passed away at the age of 77.
Wow.
But what is really interesting is the backstory to her scene. So she was a nationally ranked swimmer, professional diver who performed as a mermaid and she was an animal trainer and she was a stunt woman. She said, oh, God, it's so interesting. So the first thing she said that Steven Spielberg said to her was, when your scene is done, I want everyone under the seats with popcorn and bubble gum because they are so scared.
Yeah.
They're so scared. And apparently she had a harness on and there were two eye rings. I'm quoting this from the director. Which was Steven Spielberg, but that guy. And the wires led to two stakes on the beach, which were about 50 yards away, which is about 20, 25 meters. Mm-hmm. Five crew were on one side, five crew were on the other, and they were basically pulling Susan from side to side because they wanted the force to look like it was a massive shark doing it.
God, that's scary for her.
I'll say, well, there was a ribbon hanging from the wire, and when – when it got a bit serious, she was able to unclip herself from it. But the whole thing was choreographed. Yeah, every single move.
That's good. Because
that
otherwise,
they did,
if they both pulled at one time, they'd hurt her arms.
Exactly. She said, but they would film anywhere between 6 and 7. They'd start at 6 and 7 in the morning until 9 because they wanted that light.
Yeah.
And she said, I'll tell you, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
By the time it was finished. And it's true. Like the scene was so scary that people were like, I'm not going back in the ocean. I'm not swimming in the ocean for years and years and years. Anyway, I thought what would be really cool just to sort of pay homage to her. So our quiz later on, after we talk about our watching suggestion, we're going to talk about films set in the ocean.
Uh-huh.
So we'll do that, but after the watching suggestion, which is now.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. So we went and saw Dawn French.
Not just Dawn French. Dawn is a great big twat.
Yep. And she said the word twat how many times?
Countless.
It finished every story. It was not a stand-up, but it was a comedy thing.
Mm.
And it wasn't like a here's my life story. It was funny moments from her life, like embarrassing things where she's like,
she was essentially proving with every story
what she is.
And that, you know, it comes across as this incredible comic actress who had a successful career. But it's not without her cringe moments where she cringes herself.
Yeah, she does. She cringes. Highly scripted, which was, I remember how it was with the last show that she did, her solo show that she did. But this one I enjoyed more. I thought this one was way funnier. Dale spoke about it at the beginning of this year. He saw it in London. He said he went by himself and he had a great time.
Yep.
And we saw a few people in the audience who were sitting by themselves.
Yeah, we did.
It was one it of those shows that didn't matter. Didn't you matter. Were just going to all have a giggle
and
a laugh
next
together.
To a man who's a stranger to me.
Yeah.
And we kept sort of laughing
each other. That's nice.
Yeah, it was good. Really good. I do have to say a very tiny criticism was the first few minutes. To me, it felt like a very rehearsed show, a show that she'd been doing for years.
Well, she's probably been doing it for a year maybe,
And then I felt like she just fell into being comfortable with the audience and comfortable with the show. And that, it's such a slight feeling. You know when you go and watch a play and you're like, oh.
I'm watching a play.
They're just saying the lines.
Yeah, I get you.
That dissipated and she was telling stories.
I wonder if that was also, she had to clear her throat a few times and she did say, sorry, sore throat. If maybe it was, she was like, oh, this is actually going to be quite difficult for me to project this. I mean, she had a microphone, but you know what I mean. You still have to project stuff.
Yeah.
What I really enjoyed though was, your reaction was exactly the same as mine, but you vocalized it before I did. The minute she walked out, you were like, oh, it's just like watching an old friend walk out.
This sense of familiarity with her was so strong. It was actually overpowering that I had to remind myself, I don't actually know her. I mean, I know her, but we're not friends.
Not friends. Don't know much about her real life.
No. It was like...
But I know the way she walks.
Your friend or your cousin walking out on stage and you're like, oh, I'm so proud of them.
Oh my God, she's such a good girl.
So glad to see her. I don't know her personally. Stop being so proud of someone you're disconnected from.
One thing I enjoyed was we saw her and Jennifer Saunders probably about 10 years, maybe even more,
probably
10
more.
Years ago, doing the best of French and Saunders skits live.
Yes.
And that was really fun. And you could feel the fandom.
Yes.
Because the minute, including us, a set would come out.
We knew.
And we knew. And we'd be like, oh, this is the one. But you could hear other people sort of go, oh, this is the one.
Yes.
And I thought that was hilarious. Anyway, there was this one bit in this show that we watched where she was talking about a French and Saunders skit where they were parodying Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
She was Samuel L. Jackson. Jennifer Saunders, Chester, is telling Betty to stop it. Betty wasn't doing anything.
No.
Jennifer was John Travolta and Lulu was like Uma Thurman. Now they put Lulu in everything.
Oh yeah,
and Lulu, or like particularly Absolutely Fabulous, Lulu always acts like she doesn't know, like she knows them, but she's not friends with them at all.
Yeah, where she's in real life, creating it's the
opposite.
A distance.
Yeah, it's a complete opposite. And they were like, do you want to be in the Pulp Fiction parody where we shoot you and those fake blood poppers pop all over you and explode? And she's like, Squibs. That's what they were called. And they said, and Dawn said it was a one take thing. It was all over her chest, yeah. Lulu's chest. It was all over her arms, like her inner arms, in the lounge, and I think on the wall. Mm-hmm. So the blood splattered everywhere. And she was told, Lulu was told, put your arms out when they're pretending to shoot at you,
yeah,
because the squibs at your arms and at your elbow will shoot out, and it could hurt. So just like. So Lulu decided she would just do whatever came into her mind, which was cross her arms in front of her, almost like she wasn't – her arms weren't folded.
It was
they
like –
they were kind of crossed over her body.
It was almost as though she went limp. So yeah. Her arms went kind of slumped between her legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was funny because Dawn showed that scene and I was like, oh, I remember her doing that. I remember the exact way – because we watched them a million times each. I remember her doing that. And then Dawn went on to say that they injured Lulu and she was bleeding from the arm herself, had to get a skin graft.
Yes.
They had to take her to the hospital. She got a skin graft, but then had to come back the next day in front of the live studio audience to do the rest of that scene.
Yeah.
And she's like, and Lulu did because she's a professional.
She's a professional.
I don't want to tell all the funny jokes because it's her story, it's her jokes, but there were some really funny bits. Ones to listen out for. My two highlights would be Dustin Hoffman just being weird.
She did that really well.
And Lenny Henry and Dawn French going to a fancy dress party held by Elton John and what they decided to go as.
Mm-hmm. I really liked the story that Dale had told us, so I was anticipating
it. So good.
Where Dawn essentially walked on stage for the curtain call for a show she's not in.
No, she was doing another show next door to this theatre.
She just walked on stage and it's much better hearing it from her.
She was kind of like, I don't know what I'm out here for, apart from showing off.
Yeah, that's all she was.
She's showing off.
And then I really enjoyed her meeting and auditioning for ABBA.
Oh, yeah, that was really good. That was very funny.
It was really, really good.
And I like how she goes, so I did it myself. And I remember that one. And that's a funny parody of the film Mamma Mia, because if you remember, that's Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Jennifer played Meryl Streep. But when Meryl Streep played Margaret Thatcher in that film.
It was Meryl Streep playing Jennifer Saunders.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really hard for me to pretend that that was Margaret Thatcher, because there's something about Jennifer and Meryl.
Mm.
I think it's a high cheekbones, darling, but there is something. And
Jennifer's clearly a very, very good
parody. She does Liam Neeson and Meryl Streep and John Travolta.
Amongst others.
Amongst many, many others. Yeah, a lot of fun was had, and now, like, we're itching to rewatch the classic Murder Most Horrid, which she spoke about.
Yes. Oh,
and also A Comic Strip Presents, which I didn't realize she said that they made 40-odd of those films. I'm sure we didn't see that many, but our favorite was The Five Go Mad in Dorset.
Yes, very much so.
But there were others, and I'm pretty sure it was on SBS once
we
a week.
We did watch so many, because I remember if there was one where Jennifer or Dawn were not the main characters.
We weren't interested. Ugh. This is not going to be a good one.
It's a boy one.
Yeah. Adrian Edmondson and that guy behind it all. What was his name? Richardson. I can't remember his name. The guy who was directing stuff.
Yeah, I know.
And Dawn threw a tantrum and refused to do the rest of the scene, which was the closing scene of a particular film.
And the scene ended with the way she did it.
They ran out of time.
So good.
Oh, it was really good fun. And, you know, I love going to those kind of live shows where it's a comedy or it's funny.
Yes.
And everyone's laughing and you're just in it big time.
Especially someone that's got so much history behind them, because you know people have come because of yes. that back catalogue.
Not just for a laugh.
Yeah. Mm. And it's not, oh, that's a really good comedian. I heard yeah. them on the yeah, project yeah. the other night. Yeah. I bought tickets. Or, you know, The Vicar of Dibley has just shown, so everybody's bought tickets. It stretches a whole lifetime of career. And it was fantastic. So it was good. So fun.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a nice crowd as well.
It was a really nice it? Crowd. Yeah.
People were really pleasant, polite to each other.
It just goes to show you that, you know, your interests you share with like-minded people.
Yeah.
It's fun. Would you like to do this quiz? Because I'm so excited about it.
Okay.
It's not about Dawn because she hasn't been in a film about oceans, but she did do a parody about a film about oceans. That's a little clue for you. This quiz is simply called Ocean Movies. I'm going to read synopsis.
Okay.
You got to tell me what the film is.
I'll try.
This is an epic, action-packed romance set against an ill-fated maiden voyage.
On the River Nile. Oh, Titanic.
Yeah,
Titanic. Sorry, I was thinking Dawn. So, I'll come back to that
go
one.
Go on. Okay. Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Didn't they do the Titanic?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that was My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah.
And, Joanna Lumley played the old lady. They put an old lady, really bad old lady mask over her face and she just kept poking her tongue through the hole. Yeah.
Oh, God, yuck.
Yeah, it was really gross. A young man who survives a disaster at sea is hurled into an epic journey of adventure and discovery. While cast away, he forms an unexpected connection with another survivor, a fearsome Bengal tiger. It was a book.
The Jungle Book. A book.
Life of Pi. Yeah.
I've never seen it.
I read the book. It was good.
Yeah, okay.
It was really good.
Sorry.
Very
let
quirky.
The team down on that
Very
one.
Quirky. I'm sure you would get that one. In a future where the polar ice caps have melted and Earth is almost entirely submerged.
Ice Age 2.
No. Two. I like that too, though. A mutated mariner fights starvation and outlaw smokers and reluctantly helps a woman and a young girl try to find dry land. Starring.
Blue Lagoon.
No, that's another good one.
Well, that's an old man helping. Because old man, remember?
Yeah, this isn't as old. It's Kevin Costner thinking he's a heartthrob.
Waterworld. Sorry, Kev.
Blacksmith Will Turner teams up with an eccentric pirate to save his love, the governor's daughter, from the pirate's former pirate allies who are now undead.
The Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. I had to put one of them in.
Gosh, when you say it like a synopsis, that's
Yeah, it's weird,
bizarre.
Isn't it? It's kind of like
they're all a bit odd.
Jack Sparrow on the ocean.
Pirate with a ship.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it needs to be. A FedEx executive undergoes a physical and emotional transformation after crash landing on a deserted island.
Cast away.
Yeah, had to be there, right?
A physical transformation.
Well, he lost weight.
And grew some hair.
Oh, yeah, he did too. And the hair was blonde, remember?
Yeah.
It was sun.
Bleached.
Yeah. A young mermaid makes a deal with the sea witch.
Oh, Ariel. Little Mermaid.
Showing you that there are so many films on the ocean, right? Splash. What was the other one you said that we didn't do? Blue Lagoon.
Blue Lagoon.
There was another one, though. You said a third one.
Ice Age 2.
Yeah, that was it, obviously.
Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure. Another one that was.
Fool's Gold.
I was so close to picking that one and I was like, oh, will she remember it? But you do, obviously.
Gold with Kate and Maddie.
Yeah. Their second film together. I'm pretty sure they did 10 Ways to Lose a Guy, whatever it was called. 10 Days. What was it called?
How to Lose a Guy. You're doing 10 Things I Heard About You.
Yeah, it's a play on Shakespeare.
Yeah, it is.
Kate and Matt doing Shakespeare. And of course, I was so close to being cheeky and putting in an Oceans movie, like Ocean's 11.
Well, that's what I thought you were going to do. I was getting ready for it. So I have to admit, the first few that you, the first six that you read out,
The whole six?
Yeah. I was preempting what I wanted to answer, so I wasn't really listening.
The Titanic one was pretty funny. I could have put in Speed 2.
Speed 2, yeah.
Speed 2, that would have been a good one.
Oh, and that boat took forever.
It was.
It was like a scary movie.
Betty got you. Betty got you a good one. Classic.
Classic.
She's still doing it. She managed to get a whole paw behind the desk, like between the desk and the wall, and sort of brought
it
up.
And two paws and grabbed a cord and took it back down with her.
She's doing cable maintenance.
Don't take my microphone.
I'm still talking. Actually, we're not. We're finishing now. Yeah. I think it's time to go and have a good lie down and have a big hard think about other films set in water.
Hmm.
Avatar, Way of the Water. I haven't seen it. But it's water. Says water in it, right? Look, on that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Ahoy, sailor.